Our next reading comes from the Gospel. I'll be reading from Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This week, the powerful imagery of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. When I was reading the scripture, there was this recurring theme. Four times, the passage of scripture that I just shared with you names colt or a foal in some of the translations. And so I got to thinking, why? Why is so important is this message of this colt, this foal of a donkey? Now, a lot of us out here in this part of the world are familiar with donkeys. And so you might have your own answer to the questions I was raising to myself. Why this donkey? What is so special? What is this donkey that Jesus will be riding on? What is this donkey teaching us? And when I searched for other stories of donkeys, the first one comes up. And those of you that enjoy Bible trivia, you know the answer to this, the talking donkey of Balaam. And if you think back to the Old Testament when Balaam was a prophet of God and Balaam was not exactly doing what God had wanted Balaam to do. As a matter of fact, Balaam was tempted to kind of follow along in the wake of a Moabite prince. God sent an angel to divert Balaam back to the path that God had intended. And through three encounters, Balaam who's riding his donkey, his loyal and faithful donkey, Balaam, is saved by God in the end by the work of this donkey. The donkey can see God's angel trying to move Balaam back on course, but Balaam, being clouded by other things, can't see God's angel trying to put him back on course. And finally, there's this discourse as Balaam's anger is rising toward his faithful, his trusting steed. As a matter of fact, Balaam threatens to kill his donkey. He says, "If I had had a sword, I would have killed you." And it's at that moment when Balaam realizes and sees God's angel and what God was doing through the faithful. The donkey could see where Balaam's eyes were clouded by following the wrong path. And so Balaam repents of his transgression and is put back in the right state with God. So that talking, they have a discourse. Balaam actually talks to the donkey, and the donkey says, "I've been with you for so long, and you trusted me all this time, and then in these few moments where you were misguided and I helped restore you, you forgot all that." And so Balaam repents. That was the story that popped up when I searched for other donkey stories. And while it's not a direct correlation to today, there are places like in Zechariah, the 9th chapter, and I'm going to read that to you in just a moment, where we do have a direct tie-in to the king of God's people, coming on this colt, this donkey. But I want us to start, before I read you Zechariah's passage, I want us to consider what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is taking the initiative. He is not relying in Mark's gospel upon somebody to discover what he's done. Jesus is quietly, methodically, if you will, taking the initiative for those who are aware of the prophetic stories of how the king will enter Jerusalem. Jesus is taking the initiative so that people will discover. You know, weeks ago we began talking in Mark's gospel about this kind of hidden message. The messianic secret is a phrase that's often used to describe what goes on in Mark, where Jesus tells people, shh, don't share what you've just seen, or don't go spill the beans on what you've heard. The people aren't ready. And so Jesus here in this story is quietly doing these things that will ultimately point and remind his followers and the rest of the world who this Jesus is. So instead of having to put up billboards explaining what's going on, Jesus quietly and methodically goes to the trouble of telling his disciples to go into the coming towns, Bethphage and Bethany, and to prepare the people. Now, it's safe to say, as we know the stories of the Passion Week, that there are people who are plotting against Jesus. But these that are with Jesus today on Palm Sunday have their expectations, sure enough. I think we're going to see some of the people who shout Hosanna today, by Wednesday and Thursday and even Friday, will be a part of the crowd that then yells, crucify him. And so maybe the people of the Bible are a reflection of who we are today. Today we're here. Where will we be in our lives tomorrow? Where will we be in our lives on Thursday and Friday? Will we be shouting, save us, God? Or will we be a part of the world that is spinning out of control with no real basis? And so I think as Jesus instructs his followers to go and untie the foal, as they do that, as they follow obediently in his instruction, as they bring the foal back, we need to consider this donkey and this message that I think the donkey can be speaking to us. Not Balaam's donkey per se, but this donkey that Jesus rides on. Most of you know that donkeys are equated oftentimes as beasts of burden. In other countries where they don't have the road system like we do in the cars, and maybe the wealth that allows us to transport ourselves and our wares and goods by vehicle, you can still see today that donkeys are vitally important for the economic good of the people. They transport things to the market. They are vehicles where people ride on them, and they are important. I think here, many of us use donkeys to protect our other livestock from predators. Some people have donkeys out of curiosity and love. They just think they're cute. May not be so cuddly, but they're cute. They certainly seem to have a distinct personality. They're loyal animals. They're intelligent. They don't scare easily like a horse might do. They're certainly, for a horse of equal size, they're able and stronger to carry more of a burden than a horse. And so we can see and embrace these things perhaps in this foal that Jesus has instructed his followers to go. Would you have scratched your head and wondered if Jesus had told you just to go into this next town and find this donkey tied and then bring it back and also give you some words to share, as if Jesus knows exactly what they're going to say as they question the disciples? Would you have gone so quickly as perhaps the disciples are shown to do here? I wonder myself whether I hear God speaking to me when God is speaking to me. I wonder sometimes whether I've heard the entire message that God has put on my heart when I feel those stirrings. And so we need these stories to remind us of where the messages from God can come from. Now let's talk about, I'm going to go ahead and read to you Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Not the entire chapter, just the 9th verse of Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So as Jesus takes this initiative to reveal his messianic purpose to the people, not everybody's catching on. Not everybody is fully aware of Zechariah's prophecy, but it's safe to say at about the same time Jesus has mounted this donkey and Jesus is moving along the traditional path of kings entering Jerusalem, going through the gate, at about that time, another person is entering Jerusalem. Another person from a different background. Pontius Pilate is coming into Jerusalem at about the time Jesus is receiving the hosannas, at about the time the donkey Jesus is riding on is crossing over the cloaks of people that have placed them on the road, symbolizing the coming of a king. And I want us to consider this notion of what Jesus has done for us and in us. Jesus, if we see this fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy that the king will come on this donkey, Zechariah said that you will see your king. So there's got to be this visual kind of perspective. And certainly as people begin to wave their branches, as people are throwing their cloaks, they begin to see this person on a donkey. I don't know whether the disciples have gone ahead and prepped them for how they wanted them to respond. I don't know if other disciples other than the 12 have been spreading the word. I don't know how they knew that Jesus, this new king, would be entering Jerusalem. But they are there to see them. The second part of Zechariah's prophecy that we see fulfilled is this messianic beast, this donkey, this foal. Now, it's important for us to understand that this donkey has never been ridden. This is a new donkey. And it has been set apart. We know, because we know the rest of the story, that this is a sacred animal. That this is sacred for the purpose of the king to ride on. This animal not necessarily will be put on an altar, sacrificially given to the priest, but will be used in a sacred manner for Jesus to enter Jerusalem on. And then we have the shouting of the hosannas, the people rejoicing. So in that one verse from Zechariah, we see these three powerful points come to the surface. People seeing the king, the messianic beast, the donkey, and its humbleness with the humble leader riding on its back, and then the hosannas. As Ricky skillfully pointed out, the cheers, the prayers, the halal psalms of God save us, the acknowledgement of the one who's coming into Jerusalem, of the role they hope. And yet there's confusion, perhaps like you and I are confused. How come this Jesus, again, as Easter people, we know the kind of kingdom that Jesus is ushering in, but people under the weight of the Roman rule and maybe some of the shenanigans of the church, people are looking for deliverance from these problems, these challenges of regular life. And so they shout to welcome this new king, hoping that he will be the one who raises up the army and delivers them. But if we look at Jesus' ministry, if we look and consider as Pilate is coming in from another part of the city, if we look at the vast discrepancy between these ministries. We see Jesus on a donkey, fulfilling prophecies from the Old Testament about who the Messiah will be. We see Jesus on a donkey. We see Pilate on a great war stallion. We see Jesus surrounded by unarmed peasants, seeking hope, wishing for deliverance from powers that oppress them. We see Pilate surrounded by his entourage, armed to the hilt. We see Jesus receiving hosannas, being called to save God's people. We see Pilate surrounded by people who are seeking more power, more authority over those whom they are already in the midst of. These are vast differences in the kinds of rule that we experience in the world today. And yet, we see the humility of Jesus riding silently on a donkey, coming to bring and usher in a new kingdom. We're challenged, you and I. We're challenged by the world in which we live, the world in which God has sent us to share God's love. And so as Jesus comes to model unconditional love for this world, you and I are challenged as we get caught up in the fervor the excitement of things that go on in the world, to keep our hearts and our minds focused on who Jesus is and the hope that he brings our world and ourselves and our own personal challenges, but to also experience that great hope. My friends, this week, as we continue to move toward Jesus, if we can have that kind of trust of this beast of burden, I'm reminded of a story that was several years ago in our daily bread, the daily devotional. There was an evangelist pastor in Brazil who traveled from the remote villages. He was evangelizing on a donkey, and one day after a long series of messages, the pastor fell asleep while the donkey was taking him back to his home village. And he woke up, the pastor did, and he realized they weren't on the normal path, that the donkey had deviated. The donkey was out in a rocky field, and the pastor, probably much like Balaam, was starting to get angry. Until the pastor realized he could see his village close by. He had not realized there was a shortcut that the donkey was willing to take. But while the pastor was asleep, the donkey had taken that path. When the pastor got to the little village, he learned that a neighboring wealthy person who did not like the word of God being preached in the area had plotted to ambush the pastor because he traveled that same path every day. And so the pastor realized that the donkey possibly had sensed that danger, and the donkey had taken the pastor home a safe way. Friends, we get in places like that. We get so caught up in the fervor of our lives, the need to live faithfully and even righteously, that we miss God's grace. We take it for granted. We know we speak of those things. We know we need God's grace, and yet so often our routines, our rituals keep us from experiencing true grace. Grace that liberates us from our burdens. Grace that points to the life of the humble servant, Jesus the Christ, and the pattern that he has shown us. The greater way to live our lives, the greater way to bring words of salvation to people who are desperate to have hope. People who are seeking peace in the face of rampant violence in the world. So friends, I hope that during this week of Holy Week, that we call it, this preparation for Thursday and Friday, the Passion story, I hope that you will open your hearts, you will open your minds, and certainly open your eyes, because God's messenger may be in your midst, helping you, reminding you of the better way of living your faith life. Be open to that. Be open to the messenger, for it might be a donkey. We're going to come to the table here in just a moment and receive a tangible bit of God's grace for us. It's in this sacrament that God opens God's life to us to reveal these important truths of how God is at work and has been at work and promises to stay at work for us. So I hope and I pray that you will open your heart to receive God's love this morning as God has intended you to receive it. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit.